Our scripture for this morning comes to us from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. May God bless our hearing and understanding of this, God's holy word. As Max mentioned to you, since I was last here, I have retired from full-time ministry. It was something that I'd been thinking about and praying about for a while. And then this last summer, all the pieces fell into place that made retirement at the end of September seem like the best thing for me and for my congregation, Wilton Congregational Church. And you know, my family was really excited about my retirement too. Paul and I have three sons, three daughters-in-law, and nine grandchildren, and they're all here in Connecticut. And they are now keeping us very busy. Just a few weeks ago, when we were talking on the phone about family plans for Christmas, I asked our son, Carl, what weekday Christmas Day is on this year? And there was this long pause, and Carl said, "Mom, Christmas is on Sunday this year. I thought that's why you decided to retire." Yeah. Advent and Christmas are very busy times for pastors. You know, they're busy for everybody. So before I go into the bulk of my sermon, can we just bow our heads for prayer? Gracious God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations that are in each of our hearts, that they be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we all know now that this is the first Sunday in Advent. The holiday season is now officially in full swing. And over the next five weeks, actually, we will be busy with gift giving and baking and Christmas cards and celebrations, decorating. But for the church, these weeks are a season of penitence. This is what the color purple that Max and I are wearing in our stoles this morning, and sometimes people wear blue as well, that's what that means. It's a signal to us that this is a time for reflection, a time to go deeper with God. You can see the symbols on my stole, which are the promptings of spiritual things we can think about during Advent. You can see on this side, there's the star. Can you see that? The manger down at the bottom. At the top is the crown. Advent is a time that we reflect on the difference that the birth of Christ has made in our world. And we reflect also on the thing that has not happened yet, the second coming of Jesus, which is represented on this side of my stole by the Alpha, the symbols, the Greek symbols for the Alpha and the Omega. This is all meant to encourage us to ask ourselves this question: am I allowing God to shape me into all that God has created me to be? Am I allowing God to shape me into all that God has created me to be? Our scripture for today speaks to these Advent reflections, especially the first couple verses, as we read the Apostle Paul's exhortations to the Christians in Rome. in verses 11 through 14 from the 13th chapter of his letter to the Romans. And today I want to give you just a few takeaways from this section. First, Paul wants to make sure that these Roman Christ followers don't fall into the trap of just going through the motions of what it means to be Christian. He says, and I'm going to quote here from Eugene Peterson's The Message paraphrase of the Bible, so it's going to sound a little different than what I read earlier in the service. Paul says, make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of time and doze off oblivious to God. You know, sometimes our faith is so much a part of our life that we begin to take it for granted. Paul is warning the Roman Christians and us to take our faith seriously, to make time to be with God, even when our schedules are busy. Paul knows about the tyranny of our everyday schedules, and he does not want us to forget about God. Secondly, it is clear that Paul believed that this was something that should not be put off until later. You know, oh, I'm going to think about that later. I'm going to start that spiritual practice another time. I'm too busy right now. Paul clearly feels urgency about this. And he writes, "The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing." Paul is using the metaphor of being asleep versus being awake to describe our lives when we are not aware of the work that God is doing in our world and in our lives. But the reality is that many of us find it difficult to discern what God is doing. Paul makes it clear that we need to be awake to this. Many of you, I know, have jobs or other work experience that involve significant changes, particularly in the last couple years with COVID. And we know that as we engage in corporate change management, that one of the first steps to promote change is awareness. Are we aware of the problems that we are facing? And we know that to be aware, we have to be awake. We have to be awake to what is going on around us. This is one reason that I am so grateful that some years ago I was able to go through a certification training program to be a spiritual director. Spiritual direction is the ancient tradition and practice of sitting with another person as they reflect on their spiritual journey and what God is doing in their lives. When we work with a spiritual director, it gives us such a wonderful opportunity to deepen our relationship with God. We are able to wake up and be aware of just what God is doing in our lives and in our world. Lastly, what is Paul's goal for the Roman Christians and for us? We see this at the end of verse 12 and then again in verse 14 when he writes, "Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light and clothe yourself with the presence of Jesus Christ." Paul urges us to walk as children of light, to put on the clothing of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what does this mean exactly? I believe that for Paul, one of the ways that we are clothed in Christ is when we live and share the gifts that God gives to us. During the 4 weeks of Advent, we talk about and celebrate the gifts of hope, of peace, of joy, and of love. So this first week of Advent, which begins today, we are reflecting on the gift of hope. You know, hope is one of those things that we don't think about that much. But it is a very precious gift that we should savor and nurture in ourselves and in others. The classicists among you might remember that hope was the most precious gifts found in Pandora's box. The others weren't so great, but hope was great. During the travails of our times, we must never lose hope. As psychiatrist Dr. Dale Archer says in his 2013 Psychology Today article, The Power of Hope, he says, "If I could find a way to package and dispense hope, I would have a pill more powerful than any antidepressant on the market. As long as a patient of mine has hope, I know that they can recover from anything and everything." Dr. Jamie Atten, who's a cancer survivor and a Christian who researches how people respond to trauma, teaches about how important it is to have hope and to find positive meanings when we have bad things that happen in our lives. He tells of a colleague who was deployed to help with a relief agency after Superstorm Sandy. She met a man whose roof had been blown away by the gale-strength winds. And this man really surprised her and the rest of the relief team when he said this very optimistic thing: "Sometimes you have to lose the roof in order to see the stars." That is a man who knows how to find meaning in loss. Atten subsequently wrote in the Washington Post that he and his colleagues found that people who experienced catastrophes had differing views of God's role in disasters. Some believed that God was punishing them, but others felt that God had saved them. I don't think I have to tell you which group struggled the most with their trauma. Of course, it is the people who feel like God is punishing them. When we feel like God has saved them, saved us, we have hope, and it burns brightly within us. We can walk then as people of light, clothed in our Lord Jesus Christ. As Atten says, "I encourage you, even in the worst moments of your life, look for the stars." So during this Advent season, I invite you to find the time, schedule it in your calendars, and use it to reflect on this beautiful gift of hope. And find ways to nurture hope in yourselves and in all that you meet. Amen.